And here we go, Scott Spears and Glenn Coble on the air here on this Wednesday. I did say Wednesday. Wednesday, August. I'll tell you what that's all about in a second. Wednesday, August 26th, 2020, 826. 16 minutes past the hour, and I'm here with Glenn Coble. Glenn, how are you today?
I'm very good. But naturally, coming down here, I feel like I'm going to a dentist to have all my teeth pulled out.
Is that right?
Yeah. No.
Well, here's what Glenn walks in this morning. We only have about, between the end of my show and the start of this show, we have maybe 15 minutes at most. And all Glenn wants to talk about this morning is, well, I was listening this morning, and number one, it sounded like you were stretching. Okay, first of all, thank you for your critique. And then number two...
You made that sound worse than I made.
That's what you said. And then number two, you said, and by the way, it's Wednesday. You said Thursday.
Yeah.
And I said, Glenn, I don't think I did say Thursday. I said I had a guest on Thursday.
We'll have to go back in the tape.
Now, why do you want to point out people's flaws? Like everybody else.
Because I'm a bad person.
That's what I try to tell people.
No, I wanted to correct you in case you didn't know it, so that for your betterment.
Now, don't you think clearly if I did it, I didn't know it, or I wouldn't have done it?
Yeah.
But how can you unding that bell?
Oh, I don't even try.
Right, so you can't. There's nothing that can be done at this point.
Hey, I'm going to this after. I wanted to mention this early, so people can plan.
What are you saying?
So people can plan to do something else.
Uh-oh.
I've been doing, reading speeches.
Yes,
I read the speeches because we'd probably get sued if I stole them off the air and played them. So today I'm reading Martin Luther King's "I've had a dream" or "I dream." The dream speech. So I just wanted to tell people so that they can either make plans to leave town or they can turn it on.
Well, that'll be interesting.
It's a phenomenal speech. Have you ever truly listened to it? It says a lot of things.
I interviewed the guy who helped him write that.
Oh, really? Who is that?
Clarence Jones.
I'll be darned. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's still alive.
That's a heck of a speech.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
Especially considering what's happened here recently in the last, 48 hours, a policeman in, where was it, shot the young man 7 times in his back. And it's I know people say they hate the rioting. Well, that would make me kind of want to riot, too, if somebody in my neighborhood was shot in the back and...
Now, I want to just touch on this and then move on past anything political.
Okay.
Because I haven't been watching, and honestly, I didn't watch a whole lot of the Democratic convention either, but have you been watching any of this Republican convention?
I watch it. I'm like a lot of people on my Facebook. I watch it a short time and then it's all the same stuff.
Is it my understanding that the couple with the guns spoke?
Yes.
Okay.
They did.
Now, here's my thing. Because we've talked about it on this show, and that's the only reason I'm bringing it up again. What did they say?
Well, that was one of those things I kind of turned the sound down on because it made me so angry. So I can't honestly tell you. Now, we are going to have... can you hear me? Is my microphone on?
Yeah.
Okay. I changed my...
I'm trying to turn you up a little bit here.
I changed my earphone, and I can't hear you quite as well. Anyway, a week from tomorrow, I'm going to have Mike Larson... who is not only a stand-up comedian, but he's also a former politician. He ran for office, and he was running against Jim Jordan. He lost that particular primary. But he's going to be on a week from tomorrow talking about contrasting and comparing the two conventions. I think that'll be interesting.
Well, it wouldn't matter if it was Republican or Democrat. I just don't understand because I go back to when that story first came out, when the couple brought the guns out, because there were protesting going on, and it depends on which station you watch or what happens or whatever you read. The protesters ended up on their property somehow, and they brought guns out. Okay, first of all, nobody got killed, thank goodness. Nobody got hurt, thank goodness. I don't know why that's a story. And then it progressed to where they were going to be prosecuted for bringing out the guns, and then...
They were. By the way.
Okay, the charges did not get dismissed.
No, not yet. They still can't.
So that's going on. And then they got invited to the Republican National Convention and spoke.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm going to correct you just a little bit. They didn't the protesters didn't walk across their property. They walked across property that was, what do they call it? There's a the area is all a private area, and they didn't walk on the McCloskey's property. They walked on the street, but it was private, so they were breaking the law.
But why would this couple be invited to speak at the Republican convention? See, this is what gets out of hand to me about life.
Well,
I don't think this should have been a story to begin with.
I know, you said it right off the bat.
Right off the bat. And I certainly don't understand why they're being asked to speak at a convention. And what is so special about these people?
Because politics has turned into, well, at least part of politics has turned into hate. It no longer is politics. It's no longer arguing whether we should have more or less government spending, or more or less government defense, or more or less government support of poor people. We've gotten to the point where it doesn't make any difference what we need. I hate your side and you hate my side.
Right, but what does that have to do with them speaking at the convention?
Because it was hate speech.
What they said at the convention?
Well, no.
See, I don't know what they said.
But just the fact that they were on was a demonstration. It was quoted as law and order, but it wasn't law and order. They were pointing weapons at living human beings.
But why was that a Republican or Democratic issue? Why would that turn
into
a political party?
It's a Trump issue.
Well, no, but I mean, even that, why would it turn into a political issue? What about them doing that is political?
You'll have to ask the Republican Party. I have no idea why it turned into a political thing.
I just couldn't. I don't understand. I don't.
And
understand
I agree with you. After
story.
Thinking about it, I agree with you. It wasn't newsworthy.
No, and why it became newsworthy, I don't know.
Because somebody had a picture of them pointing guns. That's why it became newsworthy.
Right, but isn't that sensationalism?
Yeah, exactly. That's the exact word I was going to say. It's a sensational thing.
Yeah, but now they are, I guess, well-known to some degree because of this.
Yeah, they're rich, and they're lawyers in Missouri, and they become very well known now.
But you know, if they want to point their guns, I don't see the big issue in that. I mean, they didn't shoot anybody, thank goodness.
Oh, it's called assault in the state of Missouri if you point a gun at somebody maliciously, and they were pointing the guns maliciously.
So they were.
Yeah.
Well, what was it? Okay. So there is stand your ground, and
yes,
okay.
There is.
So how do you qualify what is malicious and what is not?
Good question. I have no idea.
Because I don't see, here's the thing. I think that they're normal people. I don't think that they're not rational people. They obviously felt something was going on.
No, not necessarily. They just, I think there are a lot of people that just are so filled with hate right now, especially racial hate, that I'm going to show you I'm on my side and I'm tough and I'm going to be tough. And I think that's kind of what we've gotten to. And I don't think it makes you tough to point a gun at somebody. And you said what makes it malicious? The fact that they pointed directly at these people and yelled at them makes it malicious in my mind. I don't know what the legal thing is.
I don't know. It's just become a sad thing to me because now you've taken this couple who I'm not necessarily sure ever did anything that should have been national news, and now they're speaking at what used to be a place where, you know, whether you liked them or disliked them, you had people who stood for something for long periods of time, you know, secretaries of state and former secretaries of state and people who had former presidents and former vice presidents. And now this has become the speakers. This has become the thing.
Well, one of the things that's really happened is we have, especially on the Republican side, and all of our listeners know which side I'm on, so I'm sorry if I'm taking one side or the other. But at least the Republican things that I've listened to are angry and pointed and not positive. Whereas in the past, if you would turn on any convention, there would be policy discussions. There would be people saying we should stand for this, not we should stand against this. And unfortunately, both parties now are saying what we stand against.
You know, I don't know. You know, not too long ago, I watched a documentary on the 92 campaign with because that would have been the last time president did not finish his term. Did not get another term.
Okay.
Yeah. George H.W. Bush didn't win a second term against Bill Clinton. And by the end, you know, they were talking about Bill Clinton's marijuana use and did he inhale and did he not inhale. And they were talking about his draft record being a draft dodger. And they were talking about George W. Bush not being strong and he was weak. And it had nothing to do with policy. It had nothing to do with and Bill Clinton's affairs. They were talking about that. And then there was an accusation that George Bush had had an affair. And then there was the Iran-Contra came up 6 years after it had already been dealt with, 3 days before they were getting ready to vote, that George Bush knew something about something he said he didn't. Well, obviously, it didn't turn out that way because nothing ever happened with that. But 4 days before the election, here that comes out of the woods.
There's a lot of all political campaigns, even my silly little one, get negative somewhere along the line. Yeah. And it doesn't make any difference if you are Eisenhower, you're Trump, or you're Lincoln. There's going to be some negative. They usually save the negative toward the end so they can really nail you. But this one, it's been negative through the whole thing. Now, I do believe the Democratic Party convention was a little boring because it was not negative.
Well, I don't know. I mean, they were kind of...
they were anti-Trump.
I think, you know, we're trying to warn everybody that the democracy is at stake here. And so, I mean, I think that runs to the negative.
Yeah, oh, yeah, it does. It runs to it.
Yeah. So, I mean, I can't say, and I haven't seen enough of the Republican convention to know if they are or not. I haven't heard a whole lot.
Yeah, unfortunately, they are screaming at the TV. That's what really bothers me. Now, if you can speak and make your point without screaming at the TV, I think I'll listen. But if you start having, there was a lady, and I can't remember her name, she was on, and she was screaming at the TV, and I had to turn it off just because it was hurting my ears to listen to this lady. Not only that, but I absolutely disagreed with her. But, I guess all politics runs negative. Now, I tried not to, and I got my butt pounded. Maybe I should have done some negative. I put out a news release at one point where I pointed out that Tracy Richardson, who was my opponent, had just taken around $7,000 in dark money from a householder. It was run by absolutely no station and no newspaper and no media at all. So obviously I should have paid them, I guess.
I don't know how that all works.
You guys didn't even cover it.
No, I don't remember getting the letter.
I may not have sent it to you guys.
Well, see, there you go. Yeah. The one place that would have ran it.
Yeah.
You didn't send it. All right, we're going to break. We're coming back in 60 seconds. Don't you dare go anywhere. Charlie, do you remember when Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood came to visit us?
Yes, I do. All three times. What a great time we had.
Yes, riding in the popcorn parade twice with him was great.
He made more speedy deliveries that day than the post office does all year.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth. Spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
31 minutes past the hour. Scott Spears and Glenn Coble back with you on this Wednesday morning, not Thursday morning. Although Heloise will be on with me tomorrow morning from 9:10 until 10 a.m.
I'll never live this down, Will.
Never live it down, Glenn. Because I don't think you were paying close attention.
I probably wasn't. I never pay much attention to you anyway.
And that's why things don't get better in the world. All right, Glenn, here we were talking this morning. Did you hear this about food you absolutely don't like or weird things that you eat?
Yeah, I love that subject because I've eaten a few weird things. Not a lot, but people actually eat crickets.
Crickets.
Yikes.
No, I wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't do that either.
So what? Now, see, for me, let's start here. The thing I do not like, my two things are gravy. Can't stand
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of weird.
Can't do gravy.
I can't do too much of it.
Well, I can't. I mean, the only times I can ever do it are if I'm at, like, KFC or Lee's. I can put a little bit of that gravy on the potatoes to eat it with a biscuit. But as far as making it at home or putting it on anything else, I just can't do it.
You know what's better on that biscuit than the chicken?
What's that?
Honey. Oh, I love honey.
Well, and then the other thing I really, and it's a weird thing there too, is peanut butter. I'm not a big peanut butter person.
You're not American.
Well, no, if somebody gives me a Reese cup, I'll eat it.
Oh, I love Reese cups.
And if somebody gives me a Buckeye, I'll eat it. Mm-hmm. But I could never eat a peanut butter sandwich, and people who eat it by like the spoonful, I just can't do that.
I do that.
Yeah.
I'll admit it.
Yeah.
But I can't eat more than maybe two Buckeyes. That's my maximum. And then my tummy starts to feel like, ooh, I probably shouldn't eat that second one. I don't know what it is. It must be the grease or something in it. I don't know.
So those are the foods I don't like. What don't you like?
I hate, and I've hated, I even hate the sound this food makes, macaroni and cheese. I hate
What is it with macaroni and cheese?
And I like macaroni and I like cheese, but I don't like them together. I don't know what it is.
Well, it's weird because Charlie did not like macaroni and cheese.
Well, he's a good
and
man.
And he ate everything, but he did not like that.
No.
And Jeff Ruth called in the other day, and he does not like macaroni and cheese.
Oh, I love hearing that because that means that the great minds in Marion agree.
Well, I don't know if that's what that means, but I think that it's an odd thing to dislike because it would not be, even if you don't like it, it would not be like the scourge, I guess.
It's just too greasy for me, I think. And the sound that... that sound just right.
See, I couldn't tell you the last time I ate macaroni and cheese, so it's not one of my favorites.
Oh, it's a national favorite, though. I mean,
oh, people do love
people
it.
Love it. Yeah.
But I just don't get into it. But I can't imagine that would be number one on people's don't like list.
No, that's number one on mine. Number two is liver. Now
a lot of people dislike liver.
Yeah, I'll eat three bites of liver. My mother used to, my father loved it, and my mother would make liver and onions probably once a month, and I'd eat three bites because I was required to eat three bites, but then my tongue would go up in the roof of my mouth, and I'd feel like I was going to throw up.
Well, what is it about liver? Because I can't even ever recall eating it.
It's the aftertaste that bothers me.
Well, what does it taste like?
I can't say that on the air.
No, I mean, does it taste like any other meat, even
no,
close?
None. None that I know of. It has an aftertaste to it as well.
And there are people who love it.
Yeah.
And the people who love it, love it.
Yeah.
And they'll go to restaurants, and very few restaurants serve it anymore.
Yeah, right. That's because there are a lot of smart people in the world.
I don't know. It's just, is it expensive?
No, it's not expensive. It's sickening.
Well, see, but that's your opinion.
I know.
Does anybody...
You ask my
opinion. Are there any liver and likers out there who like... Because I don't know. I mean, I just haven't eaten it. I don't think I would eat it because it just doesn't look appealing to me. But what is the big thing against liver? 740-383-9944. Or what's a food you absolutely do not like?
It's a little chewy, too.
Is it? I've just never had it.
And it's tough.
What do you put on it?
Dirt.
Well, you got to put something on it. What do people do? Is there some kind of sauce
onions,
or marinade?
And onions is very famous, and the onions are usually sautéed to the point where, you know, they're mushy and stuff. And
well, what is that stuff they put on it? There is some kind of coating.
My mom never did that.
There's something on it. I don't know what it is.
Whatever it is, I don't want it.
Maybe gravy. Could be gravy.
There you go. Now, if they put gravy on that, I wouldn't eat the
gravy. Oh, gravy's terrible. Gravy's terrible. And you know, I told the story, I've told it 1,000 times, but earlier on this year, you know, Abby, who's from Kentucky, she got her Kentucky roots, or as they say down there, roots.
Are they blonde or are they, well, never mind.
No, they're kind of twisted and gnarled okay. down there in Kentucky. And she was bound and determined that I was going to like gravy because she, you know, that's her thing. You know, they get a kettle down there in Kentucky and they just whip this stuff up.
Yuck.
So she's going to get this gravy for me and she's going to make it. I think it was sausage biscuits and gravy.
Yeah, that's okay. pretty typical. Yeah.
So she makes this stuff and she's sure that I'm going to like it. And the day I saw her, I could smell it. Coming down the hallway. And I thought, oh, no, this is going to be awful. This is going to be torture. This is going to be deadly. And I walked in there, and there it was, just in that electric skillet.
So it was at least hot.
Was it in an electric skillet or a crock pot? I can't remember, but it looked awful. And I felt awful because I knew she'd went to the trouble to make it.
Yeah.
But she gave
she
it to me.
She is a wonderful girl.
Oh, she is not a wonderful girl. Glenn, oh, man.
I think she is.
Now, why must you always
I
kiss?
I love rubbing your nose.
No, but you have this thing about kissing these hindquarters.
Well, they're a lot cuter than you.
Well, but that's fine. But I'm just
not
saying.
Not their hindquarters, by the way.
Well, no, I'm saying it's fine that you think that they're attractive. We probably should check your prescription in your eyeglasses. But the point is what is the big deal? Why must we always side with them? Why can't we ever have a logical conversation here about this?
I have no answer. I have no answer.
We've got to tell the truth at some point, Glenn.
No, I never tell the truth.
You must tell the truth. Oh, man. No,
you know, I can eat that biscuits and gravy once a year, and I absolutely look forward to it, and I love it. And then it turns my stomach later. I don't know what it is.
It turns my stomach just to smell it.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I can get through my whole serving, but I don't want it for a few more.
Well, I smelled it coming down the hall, and then I came in there, and I ate it. I ate a little bit, two or three bites, just to appease her. But the people in the room did seem to like it, who were fans of it. And so I can't say that it was bad. It just doesn't do anything for me. And I don't know why she thought that this old Kentucky recipe was going to do something for me.
Did it have a lot of pepper in it?
I don't know. It had a lot of junk.
Yeah, well,
it was awful.
It has lots of spots in it. I always worried what those spots were. Are they little mosquitoes that got caught in the gravy? Or
you know, I think she told me, I think, what her secret ingredient was, but I've forgotten it because I was so horrified by the whole incident. It was traumatizing, Glenn.
I'm so sorry. I left my violin at home, so I'm not going to play you a sad song.
And then I don't know if we've ever talked about this, but we had a whole contretemps on this show last week.
What was that word?
Contretemps.
Oh, I'm going to have to look that one up.
Write that one down. We had a big contretemps because here's what happened with the Friday Exchange Club program on this station. Okay?
I'm listening.
Now, this show has been on the air for 11 years. Different places.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, all the people who were on that show went on and did other things. You know, so I was left. I needed to fill some spots.
Yeah, you just couldn't make it.
I just couldn't make it. So we get to, like, June, I think it was, and one day I said to Abby, I said, hey, would you be interested in doing that? Now, I didn't even think she could do it because of her work schedule and it being Friday at noon, and she says, no, I'd love to do it. Love to do it. Love to do it. Oh, okay, good. So she comes in here one week, and she does it, and then she comes in here the next week, and she does it.
I bet she was marvelous.
Marginal. Marginal was the word. She was marginal. So then there came a week where I could not have her come in. But I did. What are you laughing at?
I just hit my funny bone. I'm
marginal?
Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she's marginal. And that's trust me, and that's the polite way to say it. I really hate
Don't
to say
mean.
What she really is. Yeah. Well, so and then the third week came, and I had something going on, and I sent her a message long before, and I said, listen, don't come in today. You know, go enjoy your afternoon. Don't worry about it, because I got something going on. Well, she told me that was okay. Well, come to find out, she was ticked. Then there were just a few weeks where I had other things going on, so I told
her. I remember this.
Yes, so I told her, you know, you can't come in. And then she was supposed to come back, and I was ready for her to come back like 3 weeks ago, and here comes noon, and she didn't show up.
Huh.
And no words to me, no, I'm not coming in, no anything like that. And here I am, having to do it alone, and I end up selling chickens that day or something. I had nothing to do. And she calls from the car, and she says, well, I thought I was gone. I thought you had removed me. Now, that's not true, because every week that I did tell her not to come, she kept saying, well, don't you want me to come anymore? And I, okay. So then we get to last week, and she showed up.
This is recent history.
Yes, this is recent history. So we get to last week, and she shows up. And I don't know if she had a good answer. Now, she had to take her son to a college visit.
Oh.
Now, of course you go do that.
Yes.
Of course that's more important than the show.
Absolutely.
But you should have let me know. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
Well, you agree with that, right, Glenn?
Yeah, I as I've gotten older, what is the word I'm looking for? Being responsible. Has become a call word for me, and that she should have been responsible on that. But I'd like to hear her side of that.
Well, story. That's all there is. That's all there is to it.
I know better than that.
You've heard the honest truth, Glenn. You've heard it right from the horse's mouth. The honest truth of that whole story.
Okay.
And but you know they always think that I'm trying to make them out to be the bad guy.
Girl.
Well.
Female.
Michelle and Abby always think that I'm twisting a story to try to make them look bad, but I'm not.
Not that you ever twist any stories.
Never have. Never have.
Holy crap.
Do you think there's
Can
no
I say that
story?
On here?
There's no twisted. But it's just, I don't know why that has become a thing. Now, she came last Friday, so that was good. Well, then there was a Friday in there where she couldn't come, and I understood that. She had a tragedy. And actually, that week, she did tell me she wasn't coming,
and she
did send Michelle in her place.
But no food, and that made you mad.
You know, I don't remember if there was food that week or not. There was a drink.
You use passive aggressiveness to get more food than any person I know.
What does that mean?
Other than Jeff Ruth.
No. What do you mean I use passive aggressiveness to get food?
Oh, you're always getting on there. Now, you didn't bring me anything to eat this time.
Well, what's wrong with that, Glenn?
Well, it's not something I was brought up to do.
Well, but you know, the preceding conversation is, like last Friday, Abby said, I'm going to run down and I'm going to get you a beverage. And then she, like, we're about getting ready to start the show, and she's coming down the hallway, and I get a message from her. I didn't have time to go to McDonald's.
What did she run down to do?
I don't know where she was. I don't know what happened.
Maybe
she went down there and looked at the line and said, I'm not going there.
Well, that could be true, too. Yeah.
But how is that my fault? Why do I have to pay the price for that?
You mean you're paying a price because you didn't get a free pop?
Yes. Yes, I paid the price because I didn't have a free pop.
I am definitely bringing my violin next week when I come into this
show.
Well,
don't you think when somebody says they're going to bring something, they should bring it?
If they can.
Oh, here you are siding with the people again.
Of course.
Now, if I told
they're
you...
They're a lot cuter than you.
If I said... Well, now, what does that have to
there,
do...
She's calling you right now.
I don't
now.
Think this is her. She's got other things on her mind. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott.
Yes.
I love you dearly.
Oh.
You.
Is this how it starts?
Yeah, but that's how it starts.
Big but.
Uh-oh.
I think that you underhandedly bully people into becoming friends. You apparently can't become a Scott friend unless you bring something. That's the conclusion I've come to.
Oh, no.
This is a very bright lady.
I put that off. Hello?
Oh, did
I'm
we?
Here.
Okay.
I'm letting you have your say.
Oh, no. I'm just... So, what you're saying is that if people
Scott,
don't bring...
did you know that Halley's Comet used to fly over Marion every night?
No, Charlie, I didn't know that. How's that possible?
Well, it wasn't really Halley's Comet. It was Martha Dowse's fire baton coming from Girard Avenue.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org.
brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Scott Spears and Glenn Coble back with you here on this Wednesday, 46 minutes past the hour. I got so shook up by that call that I went right into the break. Caller, are you still there?
That just happened at the perfect time.
Well, I was so shocked and stunned and just I couldn't even believe that somebody. Now, say what you said again so I make sure I have it right.
I said that although I love you dearly, love listening to you, I think you're a fabulous person, I do think you kind of passive aggressively bully people into becoming friends.
There you go.
You can't become a friend unless they bring you trinkets.
No. Now here's the thing.
No, it's food, not trinkets.
Well, no, here's the thing. I don't know that I passive aggressively bully anybody. I think what happens is that they bring this stuff, and they always claim it's out of the kindness of their heart. And so
you've dropped many hints.
Well, you know what?
She's got you down.
No, buddy. And I think sometimes, and they do bring it, and I appreciate it, and I always try to give them credit, and I say, you did a wonderful thing here, and I thank you so much. But obviously, they don't do it all the time, and it's not like I kick them around.
But when they don't do it, you call them out.
Complain, yeah.
Where's my Coke? Why didn't you bring me anything?
Well, I'll tell you why.
What is that?
No, I'll tell you what happens. Here's what happens. I think there's a misconception. Here's what happens. See, you don't hear.
No,
it is a misconception. Because I don't think you hear what happens during the break. Because what happens is they'll send me a message and say, "Oh, Scott, I'm going to bring you a pop today." So I don't go get one. And I think, oh, this will be good. And then we have like a minute before showtime. And they'll come in and I'll say, "Oh, last minute, I couldn't run down there. I couldn't do it. I couldn't get it done." So it's fresh in my mind when the show starts, and that's why I bring it up.
Don't bring it up. I mean, come on. It's at the end of the world that you can get your pop. Come on.
Well, I don't know. I just think, you know, because don't you think it's good for... I mean, I would never disown a friend because they didn't do something like that.
But you diss them.
But you diss them.
Oh, I diss a lot of people, though. I mean, I got a lot of things to
say. I'm just messing with you. I think you're a great person. I'm sure you're a wonderful friend. I just couldn't resist the razzing.
No, I'm glad you did because this I'm glad somebody took their side because it's clear that they are wrong. Now, what did you hear the show last Friday?
I did not. I start working at noon, so I always miss when you have your guests on.
Oh, but on the plus side, you get to miss Glenn's show when it comes on. So there you go.
Yeah.
I catch him in the evening sometimes on the replays.
All right.
I love listening to him.
Thank you.
Oh, don't stroke Glenn's show. We'll be in deep trouble if you do that. Holy. Don't you think Glenn, though, is biased here? Don't you think
he always sides with
these people, these women?
I mean, is he wrong in doing that, though?
Yeah, I don't think you side with the people just because they're women. I think you side with the person who's right.
Well, that's why.
Which is what he does, and which is what I'm doing. But
No.
Can't accept that.
I think you guys just take pity on poor Abby, and I can understand that. You know, she's a nice girl. I like having her here. We're friends. We're very good friends. Well, that's a lie. We're friendly. But
no, in defense of you, I do feel that they should have enough respect to call, to contact, say, "Hey, I can't make it." So that's, you know, you just kind of don't do that. It doesn't take much to send a text or call.
Responsibility is a good thing.
Well, I'll tell you, you know what the whole pop thing is to me and whatever else? It honestly started that way with them because of the gravy and the blueberry dumplings and the apple butter donuts.
You liked the latter two.
Right, and I give them credit when they do something nice like that. And I think, and Michelle has brought Stewart's a lot, but there are a lot of people who don't bring me anything. Now, Glenn...
Never.
Squat.
But I'm bringing my violin next week.
And I'm nice to him.
But I'm sure you've called him out before, you know, for not...
No. A matter of fact, when I have a party, I make sure Glenn doesn't come.
Yes, he doesn't invite me.
I put fences up around the house. I say, please don't come.
What kind of friend is that?
Well, I can't have Glenn at my party. My parties aren't zoned for Glenn.
I take up too much of his time. You know, I might suggests something, and he wants to be the, you know, the center of attention. So
right.
Well, no, my house just isn't zoned for that much boring. We can't do it.
Oh my goodness, Glenn, how are you taking this?
I like Scott. I don't know why.
Because it's all jocular. It's, yes, in a jocular niche of fun. And it's just like with the girls. I don't think they would come back if they didn't think I was jocular. But boy, you should see some of the Facebook messages I get sometimes.
I'm sure.
Holy mackerel.
Can you say jocular on the air?
Jocular, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's a joke.
Jocular. Oh, and I did find out that word that I... Well, we'll go on with that later.
Hey, caller, I thank you for calling in, even though, yes, I think you tended to the wrong on this one.
Oh, no, you're right.
Hey, thank you.
You gentlemen have a great day.
You too, bye. Thanks a lot.
Well, there's one for me, Glenn.
What a nice lady.
One for me.
One. You can mark it up any way you want to.
Check mark for me.
I heard her. Hey, that word that you said, hoity-toity last
hoity-toity,
week.
Hoity-toity, yes.
There is howty. Howty. Is a word.
And this is why I don't invite you to my parties.
I know, and that's why I say it, so that you won't invite me to your boring party.
Why? I hope you continue to say it, so you don't.
But there is a word in the dictionary, howdy.
Howdy? Well, that's hello.
No, not howdy, but howty.
You said it like a real Tennessean there.
Yeah.
Howdy?
Howdy?
Who used to say it? Was that Minnie Pearl?
Yeah, Minnie Pearl.
Minnie Pearl, yeah.
She was good at it.
All right, so that's one for me that I am a kind man who deserves beverages from these girls.
There's a lot of misconceptions here.
What is your definition of passive aggressive? Where am I passive aggressive?
Well, anytime you ask for anything on the air and say, oh, I didn't ask for it.
Well, I don't ask for it on the air.
Oh.
No. What I say was it didn't happen. I don't say, hey, Abby, bring this.
Now, see, that would not be passive aggressive.
And I don't do that.
No, if you would do that, that would not be passive aggressive. What you do is passive aggressive. You try to make her feel guilty for not bringing it.
How's that?
Well, you have to listen to yourself, and I don't think you ever do that.
No, you don't want to listen to yourself. And I don't think I do. I think what I point out, Glenn, are the idiosyncrasies of life. Because I've got 2 hours every morning I got to fill. And I'm looking for decent stories sometimes.
It isn't that easy either, is it?
No, sometimes you really got to stretch out there. And if we have to go to the pop route and I've got to talk about them, it's just what you have to do.
You know what we need to do? We need to buy one of those machines that we can have, what is that, soda fountain pop for you.
I heard that those aren't good.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No. Okay. Never had one.
And what is wrong with buying somebody something, a friend?
There's nothing wrong with it, but that person shouldn't be made to feel guilty if they...
Oh, I never make people feel guilty.
Sorry. I don't
know if you had to sneeze there or something.
No, I wanted to snort in derision.
Is anybody on my side in this one?
No one.
740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Like I've said, I think they're great. That's why I invite them on.
Good.
If I didn't like them, I wouldn't invite them on, right?
I don't know.
Well, what, people just show up here and I put them on the air? No,
but you've invited people on that you and I have talked about off the air that you didn't like.
Well, I don't think that's true.
Oh, well, off the air, I'll mention one.
Yeah, mention one to me, because I want to know who I've had on I didn't like.
Well,
because in general, I like most people.
Okay. I think you're right there.
Yeah.
In general.
I've disagreed with people, but I don't know that I disliked them.
Well, there was one person that dissed you, basically, that you didn't like.
Dissed me?
Yeah.
Is it a well-known person?
Mm-hmm.
Like a famous person?
Yeah.
Oh, well, we can say this.
No,
I'll take it.
I'm not going to...
Give me the initials.
Jim Jordan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I figured that's who you were talking about.
Yeah.
But I don't dislike him. No.
Okay.
It's Adam who ended up disliking him.
All right.
And I think Terry ended up disliking him. I didn't.
Okay.
They thought he was mean. Now, Adam, if you're out there listening, call in and tell that story.
You said he's dead.
He might be dead. I don't know. Adam, if you're still out there, tell that story, because there is a story to that. But no, I was not. I didn't even lose my cool with Jim. I was fine. He was yelling at me. I was okay with it. I mean, I figure those are questions he probably didn't want to answer. So, no, I would have Jim on tomorrow.
Oh, I would too.
Yeah, I would love to talk to him.
But that doesn't mean I like him.
I don't dislike him. No. But it was Adam who went on the following Monday okay. and has said in subsequent episodes of his show that he's so disgusted with him because of the way he treated me in that interview.
Now, see, you do have friends.
Well, I don't know if I don't know if Adam's doing that friendly. I think he's just saying, you know, I never heard anybody act like that on live radio before. Take a big drink while we're on the air, Glenn.
I had to get that down.
Lordy.
Let's go back to food that we don't like.
But I just want to make a point. I do not dislike Jim Jordan.
Let's go back to food. is that Jim on the...
yeah, that's
the
Jim calling in right now.
The food that we like the best. What is your favorite food?
Oh, that's... You know... I'm not much of a foodie, to be honest with you. Favorite? I like certain things from different places. You know, sometimes a really good pizza is good. Sometimes a really good hamburger is good.
Have you ever had a good pizza here in Ohio?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't think anybody outside of Chicago had ever had a good pizza, so. that's just me.
Yeah. I mean, I like Tubby's. I think Tubby's has very good pizza. I think Genova's has very good pizza. I think that, there's another place.
It's hard to find a pizza that you don't
like. I like Domino's. Yeah. I really do like Domino's pizza.
The stores that make pizza, I'd say most of them I like. Now, if you make a bad pizza, and there was one, it's no longer in town, but it's usually because they scrimp on everything, and... kind of tastes like cardboard, but most places that make pizza make it pretty decently, I think, because pizza is just a tasty food.
But I wouldn't say pizza is my favorite food. It just, you know, if I'm going to go out and get a hamburger, like I would rather go to Wendy's. I like their hamburgers. I think they're better. But hamburger is not my favorite food. I'm trying to think.
You need a hamburger from Harry Carey's in Chicago.
I had it.
Oh, yeah, you have.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a terrific hamburger.
Very good hamburger.
Way too big.
But
you
I
can't
had,
eat those.
When I was there, I had mozzarella marinara, and then I think I had lasagna. Well, I've been there a couple of times. One time was a hamburger, but they're good.
Yeah, they are. Now, my favorite food of all is lobster, but you got to have – it's actually butter with lobster.
And I like good fish. I like good fish.
Really, I don't.
I do. Like an all-you-can-eat fish fry, I like those.
Did I ever tell the story about my son-in-law who ate 120-some shrimp?
Ooh, that's a lot.
Yes, and made the entire family sit while he ate at one of those all-you-can-eat fish things. We sat an extra hour waiting for him to finish eating. Ever since then, I've had questions about my son-in-law, who may be listening. I'm sorry, Bo.
Oh, do they listen?
Yeah, well, occasionally.
Now, do they ever say that I'm just so nice to you? Who is that nice man who sits there with you and is so kind?
My daughter quit listening because you were so mean to me.
No, it's probably that story you told about her a couple weeks ago.
Oh, wait.
But I just don't think I'm passive-aggressive, and I certainly...
Okay. Most people that are don't. My mother was terribly passive-aggressive. And my mother-in-law was even worse than my mother. You fit right in with those two.
Glenn, if I was passive-aggressive, I would know it.
Okay.
You got to be self-aware.
Yeah.
Don't you?
I don't think most people are self-aware.
You don't think?
Oh, no. They're aware of their goodnesses,
so if
but
I
they're
go
not
on
aware
the air,
of their bad stuff.
So if I go on the air and I say, why, you know, you said you were going to bring me a pop, why didn't you? I think that's just questioning why you did or did not. I don't know what's passive-aggressive about that.
I think you should do it off the air, and why even bother? They didn't bring you one. That's the fact.
Oh, because it's a running thing now.
Yeah, that's the point.
That's the point. It's a running thing, and when you do
it's fun.
And it's fun. You gotta, like Charlie and I had the fruitcakes, and how poinsettia is.
Now, he liked the fruitcakes.
Oh, so. He did like the fruitcakes.
Do you like fruitcakes?
No.
Me either.
No.
I'm with you on that.
Not at all. Not my thing at all. You know what? We're going to break. We're coming back with a whole nother hour. Stay tuned. As passive aggressively as you can be. Make sure you stay tuned. Come back.
Now one of them said as he picked up a knife, there's no use in us carving, for if we do, there won't be enough to keep us all from starving. So I suggest we go to bed, and tomorrow, said Maloney, whoever has the nicest dream, Winnie. the following